Unifor Local 444 President Dave Cassidy made a post yesterday on social media mentioning that serving as president for the past 6 years has been a profound honor. And I went, 6 years? Is that all? He's been through an awful lot in those 6 years, and I'm sure it seems like a whole lot more than 6 years to him as well as president of that very large local of Unifor. Dave Cassidy joins us now. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Patty. How are you today?
Good. What has that 6 years been? You've been through so many negotiations, contracts, and COVID and everything that went on there with all your members and all the things they did in the plants and the changes that had to be made. Wow, it's about time. You probably just want to put your feet up for a minute?
Well, listen, I don't know if I would survive after that. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, we've been through a war here. And, with the sunsetting of the caravan, loss of the third shift, notice of the second shift, COVID, vaccine policy, casino first to close, last to open, our whole part shortages, and on and on and on and on. Yeah, it's been a real battle zone in my last 6 years here, but, it's enjoyable. It really was. I mean, some days you're like, what are you doing? But I really enjoyed every single day that I got up and came to this job. I had a great team around me, that's for sure.
You kind of started with Chrysler when the early days of the minivan, and that was some pretty heady days out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a product of the third shift. It's amazing to see, where we've come, down the different changes in the minivan, the different changes in the plant, the different changes with our bosses. Been through a lot of employers there, through my tenure of 30 years as well. We've had a lot of people who have owned us, but
yeah, it's kind of like radio. We feel the same. A lot of owners have gone through here.
True story, Patty. True story. Yeah, yeah. No, but it's been great. I mean, I was the secretary treasurer here before. I've been over here since 2009 at the local union. I've been in a leadership role since 2002 at Local 444, and it's the greatest local that I think it's the greatest local in the country. Others would debate it, but not much debate around these walls at 444. We've always been front and center on most issues. And, with the leadership that's going to get elected coming in, nothing's going to change.
It's not a hands-off job, is it? I mean, you're there, you're in some negotiations, you're in those meetings, you're on the front line, you're out there when people are out on the line, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're front and center. There's, we have over 30 workplaces. It's just not Chrysler. I mean, everybody thinks it's just Stellantis, and it's just not there. We have about 10,000 members. You're front and center at every set of bargaining. They continue, and our vice presidents are involved with their assignments, take those, but as the president, you're responsible for everything that comes through there. So it's a 24/7 job, Patty.
Take us back to the pandemic. I mean, a lot of people were sent home. Of course, you can't be sent home and work from home building minivans. So what was that like? What was that at the beginning of getting the calls and the meetings? And what challenges did you face right off the bat?
Well, right off the bat, I mean, it was, everything's closing. Casino is closing. Our auto parts are closing. The Windsor Assembly Plant is closing. The world closed, right? That dreary March. Then they deemed at that point for automotive to be essential. And, it was interesting when they were deemed to be essential. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, nobody else is working. How can we be essential? And then they put masks on us. We got to go through the screening process to get in every day. People don't want to wear them. We have to wear eyeglasses. It's hot in the summer as we're still in COVID. Like, working on that line is tough enough, and then you have to put these masks on. We have people who feel they're not keeping you safe. We have people that feel, it is one of the toughest things that I've ever dealt with in my tenure. And, You know, we went after the feds on it. We went after the province. You know, we put pressure on them. We went after the medical officer of health. We went after epidemiologists that, you know, on this whole issue. I mean, even for our casinos, because we wanted to make sure the casino was open. Because for us, it was about jobs, and that's all it was, mm-hmm. keeping people safe and jobs. So it was very tough. And you know, we had a handful of people at our facility, too, that, you know, as we go through the start of the pandemic and get to October, they put a vaccine policy on us. And when that vaccine policy came on us, this is one local union that did not agree with the fact of the national union and said, we are not sitting back. Our members get choices, and they should have choices. And we took it on, and we took it to arbitration, and you know, we fought this issue. So it's been one that has been very difficult. It's been very divisive, and I know that people are strong on whichever way you think about it. And there was no way that anybody was going to fix that. It was one of the toughest things in my tenure that I've ever had to deal with, Patty.
Wow. How about aside from pandemic, when it comes to negotiations, contract problems, and things breaking down, what's been the toughest and what's been the best, that you can bring off the top of your head?
You know, the best is you know, when we came out of auto bargaining and auto parts bargaining, last year and this year, that's, in my 30-year tenure, that's those are some of the best agreements that we have bargained, it is the largest, you know, gains that I have ever gotten in my 30 years at a contract. And then you look at the other side, and during my tenure, well, it was right in the middle. It was 6 years ago when James Stewart and I were switching roles, when James was in there in the interim, with the casino. That was a very difficult one at the casino. That bargaining 6 years ago that everybody knows. It was tough. It was tough on the workforce. It was tough on us as an organization. And we tried to make sure that we could get the right deal to come in there. And the workers were just upset with the company. It was not just the union. It was the company that were upset, and they had over 20 years of anger that was there, and so yeah, that was probably one of my low ones in the bargaining side. But you know, on the majority, 98% of the time we get a deal. We always get a deal, and we never get a deal without those bargaining committees giving us the mandate to take back to the membership. I never, as a labor leader, make a decision without the support of the bargaining committees. They're number one to us, and they'll always be number one. And every one of the officers here at the local knows that, and that's how we operate here at 444. Without our committees and the support of the membership, they just don't go down. So,
you know, I was watching as the auto workers in the South and the U.S. have just voted to organize with UAW, and governors are coming out saying, oh, you're killing us, you know, we're going to lose all this investment. The workers, they had a lot of threats made against them, and at the same time they all decided that yes, I think it was 76% said, yeah, we want to unionize no matter what everyone's saying about this. It to me, it shows that, you know, they get it, that they're realizing that they need the help of a union. So do you feel like, you know, unions are still making that difference?
I do. You know, look at TRQSS. You know, they had 36 years non-union here in Windsor, and it was one of our top three union drives in Uniforce history. And they wanted to join here at Local 444. We were successful with that drive after 36 years. So they knew they needed the help of the union. I mean, people say that, oh, they just can follow ESA and labor laws are there, and nobody needs a union, they're irrelevant. Listen, I think the relevancy of unions today is just as much as it was back in the day if we focus on the right things. We focus on three things, and I always say it all the time. collective bargaining is our number one. Education to our membership is another one, and organizing. Those are the three pillars that really get us through. The other stuff, you know, it's important to us, but through collective bargaining, you know, and education, everything else comes through, and that's one thing that we got to keep our focus on, and that's what advances workers as we move forward.
Very good. Good things. Yeah. As I watched the Tennessee vote, I was the UAW calling it historic victory, but while the governors were saying it's disastrous, President Biden, you know, congratulated the union, saying the unions have helped raise wages and demonstrate once again the middle class built America. So, in Canada, how are you feeling about our politicians and the parties and how they back up the unions?
Well, listen, there's that's a real mixed bag, and that's a great question, Patty, because I'll tell you, from a federal level, it's interesting how some parties or a specific party wants to believe now that they're friends of workers. That has never been career politician that wants to say that he is a friend of workers. And I'm going to be very clear, if Pierre Poilievre was the prime minister today, the battery plant and the investment in Windsor and Essex County would not be here. He does not think that I look at it as a return on investment. He looks at it like nothing but corporate welfare. And when you take it, you take a look at things like that, we had Premier Ford step up to make sure that he was part of this, supporting the workers. He supported the workers from a provincial level. It's night and day. So you know, from the federal level, I'll tell you, people have to really wake up, because the investments that we've had in the Windsor-Essex area is second to none. And we need to make sure we have all parties together. We need to have the companies who are going to be making the money and thriving. We need to make sure that we have the labor that is there to support it, and we need to make sure that we have the government, because in every single jurisdiction across the world, they are supporting business as we move forward because they see it's a return on investment. And when you look at places like the South, things that are going on in the U.S. with the politics, that's what's happening. This world has turned ugly ever since that, you know, that man that he's up every day, and I really wish that people could watch it on television instead of seeing his little press conference every day. I really wish that they could see what happens in the courtroom. But unfortunately, we can't see that.
Mm-hmm. Last question. Do you have plans what your next step is? Anything you can tell us? I know you won't be sitting down, putting your feet up and not doing anything. Have you got a next chapter written yet?
No, I don't, Patty. I have a chapter for the end of the week. I'm going to take a week vacation here, and me and my wife are going to take my grandson to Disney. So we're going to enjoy a little holiday, and then I'm going to be back making sure I can put my ex on the boat for the the team that we have endorsed out of here. You know, this local is going to be in good hands. I know that, you know, we know that James Stewart is going to be running to, replace me, and Manny Cardoso, our vice president, is going to run as secretary treasurer, and we have Mike Stevenson and Steve Morgan from the plant, from the committee, and Mike Dagnolo, our vice president, who is already here. They're going to be seeking support from our membership to take over the local and head it in a direction, and I'll be back for that vote for sure.
Okay. Well, Dave, good luck with what you do next. It's been always a pleasure, and I'm sure that we're not done talking.
For sure, Patty. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Dave Cassidy, the outgoing president of Unifor Local 444.